That's no fun.
I know.
We're still.
We still have one minute.
We're only expecting Hanrahan and Wiley because Lavrakis had to be he had to be elsewhere.
Yeah.
Excused absence. So we're looking for just the other two of the committee members. So we'll give them a minute or two. But I wanted to start with. Looking, you know, maybe the easiest thing would be to quietly look it over anyway.
And I know almost everybody, but just for my sake, could the committee introduce themselves, the task force?
Sure, we're still waiting on two people, so.
Okay, well, I know Tracy. And who's the other one? Oh, I know Julie, too.
Julie Hanrahan.
And Ann. Okay. Caroline. Stan.
Jeff.
That's Jeff.
That's Jeff.
And Margaret Daly.
Margaret, mm-hmm. Okay. I actually know how to spell Margaret.
A lot of people don't. Of course, I've been spelling it since I was very young, but of course I don't have trouble with it.
And everyone should meet Peggy.
Mm-hmm. Also Peggy. A Margaret.
Really? Yes.
Also Margaret. Right? Yes. That's why she knows how to spell it.
Yeah.
That is spelled too differently, is it, generally?
Not really.
My mother's Margaret also.
But sometimes they spell it Gret, G-R-E-T. Yeah.
Is your mom A-R-E-T? M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's Marguerite.
Yeah. Hi, Julie.
I provided a triple-spaced copy because it's easier if you have a lot of white space to
excellent.
Mark it up.
Well, we will
I think that's
use
really
that.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you for that.
So you're giving us license, is that what you said?
No, I just expect it, so that I better not put my personal soul into it because I might not like the outcome, okay? I'm a realist.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I just like, okay, just get this on paper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks cold.
I had my sweatshirt on. I'm really sorry I did. And I got it.
I'm just going to be looking at it. Actually, we got us finalized. The criteria is finalized, is that right?
Well, I think it's contained inside of here.
I think it is. I tried to put everything
and then
in there
we'll see if it is. Yeah.
That I could remember as discussing one way or another, and I'm assuming that if someone doesn't like it, they will voice their objections or want to change it and so forth. Some things may not be necessary if you make one decision, and then, of course, crossing something out is fairly easy. It's often a little harder to put something in when people are trying to draft.
I was just thinking, I guess you'd probably have a list when you guys are reviewing this to check off personally. You wouldn't have it. In this format.
Yeah, the criteria would be a chart. Yeah. I mean, the raters would have a...
Raters would have
when
a
you're rating this...
Well, you're handing this out.
When you're rating the narrative, you can take each one of these and have a...
Yeah.
Grid.
We're going to ask a critical question. Does it do X? Mm-hmm. We want them to explain how does it do X. So yeah. You have to rephrase the question a little bit.
So the narrative covers the criteria.
Okay.
And in some cases, it's... you know, yes, no, explain, and in other cases, I think it's more of a narrative.
Is this what you intended? I guess the council, I think, after you go through, looks at this or her.
This might have to be reformatted, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the council's going to have to.
Or the public hearing, wherever it was, yeah.
Yeah, and have a hearing and see where we are.
Okay.
So it is actually time, and the tape recorder has been running, so all your comments are
recorded.
That's fine.
Okay.
Why don't we go ahead and not wait for Tracy anymore? We do have the majority of the task force. We've got 5 out of 7, and one has been excused already. John Lavrakis.
Oh, John Lavrakis.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Wiley can join late at this point, and we'll go ahead and start according to the agenda, which I'm now calling to order. And our main agenda item is number 2, which is reviewing the draft application. Want to thank Margaret for working hard on this, and we really appreciate that, so that we have something to react to. And then we will have some timeline elements. Oh, good.
Tracy
Wiley's joined us. We turned this thing on, so okay. Now we know you're here. Just going through the agenda, great. Tracy. And we have a 5-point agenda, which, did you see it and get it? Okay. Timeline would just be, you know, where do we go from here? What's next? When do we want to accomplish this, that, and the other? Public comment, if public arrives, we don't have any at this point. And then other items that the committee can add to the agenda at this time. So does anybody have anything? You know, number two is just a very general discussion and with the goal of getting the draft into a final form. So with that, how would be the best way to have a discussion on this document called Project Qualifications?
I just, I'll read through it and then...
Well, okay, because some of us, and I'm one of them, didn't get a chance to review it and couldn't open it and everything. So why don't we take a couple of minutes at least to go through the first and, the single space form takes up 2.5 pages. So we can at least, scan through it, take a look at it, and spend a couple of minutes just trying to understand it before we... And I guess just starting with the beginning and sort of going through it slowly after
that. So let me qualify. This is what they're going to see first when they get the application.
This would be the application eventually.
Okay.
With the exception, you're just going to have the first page is going to just be...
Yeah, or at least some information that has to be provided.
Mm-hmm. Address, name, right?
I mean, right, that is not on here yet, it looks like. Okay.
Yeah.
So there will be preliminary material.
Okay.
Okay.
It's basically the instruction sheet, what we want.
Okay. So they'll be able to go through here and say, wow, I just don't think I'm going to be able to qualify. Or if they get, three-quarters of the way through here and say, okay, I'm going to need to collect some information. And then they would submit this with the application and the information.
Mm-hmm. So this is the application.
This will eventually be the application.
It'll be the request with the narrative and all that.
Yeah, with some preliminary material that's not on yet.
Okay.
Yeah, they wouldn't necessarily have to give this exact page back, but I can see me sitting at a computer, okay, first question, put it down, da 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 da, write the answer, second question, da 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 da. And you wouldn't necessarily have to give this back, but the idea is to make what you want clear.
Right.
Because they could pick this up and read it, and that would give them a good idea on do I have all this
right.
on my resume.
That's why the first thing is you ask them to read it in full before they do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't necessarily do that, but...
There's another request I've heard on if you get it in a format, like some people can't open it, don't put it in a PDF or put it in, like, I guess, some sort of a Word program that people actually can go... Mm-hmm. Take it out and they transfer it, the file doesn't go.
They don't have to retype it.
This is in WordPerfect, so I don't. People don't have WordPerfect anymore. It used to be standard. But the idea is that sometimes you can set it up with Adobe that you have fill in the blank. You can actually do it that way.
We can make it a fillable form.
That depends on how it's set up.
Or a printable.
All you can paste as well. I think the form isn't as critical either, but they at least can transfer the question over.
Well, if you do it as a fillable form and you end up needing more space for name of application, applicant or something, then it just bumps everything down.
It does.
Then
you can print it out.
That'd be fine.
So we'll make a note that you want that to be a fillable form.
Yes.
Or at least transferable so they can use it.
Yeah.
Or in a usable format.
You might have to do it in more than one format to make sure people have it. That's one of the things. Sometimes it's Word, sometimes it's WordPerfect, sometimes it's Adobe.
Yeah, I suppose you can also put that you can provide a print copy if they need it.
Yeah. Have available so they can actually pick up paper.
Right.
Some people may not have themselves computerized.
They may want to request it.
Well, maybe it's on the city's website where if you need a printable form, go here. Here's the link to go here to get the printable form.
You put it, if you're doing it that way, you list the different formats and they select the one they want.
Yeah.
Well, those are mechanical things.
Right.
We'll come up with our ideal look, and try to refine that. So let's continue to just, ourselves look at the pages, and then we'll start with it.
Attachments. I think that's supposed to say budget rather than budge.
Oh, you don't want to have a budge?
I thought I stopped at it for just a second and went, what's a budge? Am I missing something?
He read the form!
That's a noun.
Well, it looks like...
the new words coming out, you just never know anymore.
Now, on the single-spaced one, I've been looking at the single-spaced one, simply because... Page one is the kind of pre-qualifying questions and gets you to the point where you read this entire page and you know whether or not to go on, I think is the goal.
And that, and that was my question, is you do need to have it where there's a break, where you say, okay, this is your preliminary, and then from this point on...
Well, this is unformatted. Obviously, there's no, Roman numeral 1 and A, B, C. So
I actually made it in two documents and put it together. This is the one document. The other one was the other one.
No, and for discussion purposes, the formatting and the mechanics of it.
Right.
The main thing is knowing what we want it to say right off the bat. I think everybody would agree that the beginning is the most crucial, and that we want the instructions to be clear and the definitions to be there as much as we need them to be for these potential applicants. So
I like it.
It's definitely getting you right off the bat saying whether or not you're kind of doing. When it says, please answer the following questions, and then you go down this list, it's almost like you're doing it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And then I'm not sure if it says at the beginning, it looks like the first paragraph establishes the definitions, and then the next paragraph establishes that you have the ability to what did we call it? To give a letter of interest.
Well, I think we called it a pre-qualifying preliminary review or something.
Okay.
I don't. A letter of interest says we just want something. It doesn't really tell you anything. What you're asking is for something. Do you think we qualify or not?
The thing that we said four weeks before the deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing, and yeah, we have to state a pre-qualification letter, I guess would be.
This wasn't the first page here is an attempt to go down the statute as well as go down the other little criteria that the city put into it to make sure that they were aware of these different points.
Well, let's check in with the city under the section that goes, please answer the following questions. Does this cover the requirements that the city has said that they require?
Well, it's what we proposed to be the qualifications.
And that was...
If you guys agree that those would be the proposed qualifications, and we all agree on that, then that would be the proposal to the council. The council would have to finalize those as qualifications. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But we're proposing altogether that the applicant has to be a government or a nonprofit. Right. C, not C3.
Right.
Because chambers of commerce are C4s, and they might have a project. There are entities with C, but it's a C4 or a C6.
Yeah.
Okay.
So C is the right way to limit that.
You don't know the correct answers, but what I'm looking at here. See if you answer no, is that knock me out or is yes okay? It doesn't really help. You know, in other words, are you a government agency or are you one? Maybe you would say, are you one of these two? So, because you're going to say no to one and yes to the other, obviously, in a lot of cases.
I think that's fine.
It's because
it gives
or.
Us a clarification. Is it a government or is it a 501c?
I mean, just do a blow walk off screen answering this thing. I don't know, but that rules me out now.
Are you saying, Jeff, that it needs to say?
Or
an applicant
or.
Must be either a governmental agency or a 501c organization.
Right.
I was trying to ask simple direct questions rather than put the or into things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so
yeah.
You may want another explanatory paragraph.
Well, other than a paragraph, do you meet these two or one of these two?
Yeah, does the project meet either of these qualifications? I think would be an easy way to rephrase that.
Yeah.
And then you have government agency or nonprofit where they check one of them.
Right.
What we want to say is that it must meet one of these.
Must meet one of the following, colon.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, you can do that too. If that's your intent.
Why don't you just say applicant must be
either or something. Yeah.
Are we tweaking this or somebody on your task force? Because I need to know. Has our staff been doing this?
No, well, Margaret did this, but I think it's time to send it to the staff.
Take care of it, but
because we're getting close enough to the point where you're going to have to get it in document anyway. Yeah.
Okay, so applicant must
be.
Well, we'll be tweaking this a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Must be, and then it'll be X or X. But so on this page, why don't we look at, does it have everything we do need, and is there anything on it that we don't need? And just tweak it in that way
at this level.
And within the city limits, it sounds like, is a very important requirement or will be annexed.
About urban growth boundary? Did you want to make it the urban growth boundary or the city limits?
Well, I think urban growth boundary would be best, because then if you're not an urban growth boundary, you can't be annexed.
Right.
So to clarify to people, I mean, I guess you could say if you're in city limits, you're already in there. The next, will it be annexed to the city limits? That would be okay, too. The people would have to know if they're urban growth boundary.
So are you suggesting we replace city limits with urban growth boundary?
Well,
that would eliminate the second question.
Yeah.
That would make more sense with the second question.
We'll just eliminate the second question.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Because you're not going to be annexed if you're not in the urban growth.
Oh, okay, that was, so, that eliminated the second question. You're right. Yeah.
So we could just say, is the project within the city limits or the UGB?
Yeah. Within the city limits or the urban growth boundary.
So you could have a checkbox. You could have a checkbox for city limits, yes, UGB.
If it says city limits, no, you
could say UGB. Or just say, is it within
city limits or the UGB?
Just one question.
Yeah, because
I would put two boxes just because the urban growth boundary annexation is an additional step that they would have to complete. And if it's already in the city limits, you don't have to worry about it.
Well, what I'm wondering about is whether the council would care whether or not it was annexed. If it's a nonprofit agency or government agency, we're not going to get any tax dollars out of it anyway.
It isn't as critical.
So this is
city services, there's a lot of issues, so you'll have to do it anyhow.
So you just say, is the project within the urban growth boundary?
Yeah.
Right. Yes or no?
Yeah.
And then leave out the whole annex.
So,
thing.
Yeah. Not knowing what the urban growth boundary is.
They'll have to find out.
And they can find that on our website. I'm fairly certain that that's included as a part of the community development department website.
It's pretty straightforward. You call up Derek.
Or anybody there can answer.
Okay.
Okay. Then, so that's kind of like a piece of information that can be edited by the legal person of the city. Will the organization proposing the project indemnify the city of Newport from financial liabilities incurred from the project?
Is this something that you guys needed?
That's one of the criteria that the city.
That's one that we had put on here.
That's the qualifications for projects 1-7.
I wouldn't use that word.
It is indemnification of the city of Newport from financial liabilities incurred by the project.
No. I think we need that, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I agree.
What do you mean by indemnify? Means you actually go out and have to get insurance. What do you mean by a bond? What's the concern here, I guess, is what I'm asking.
If they incur a debt,
they pay for it.
If they incur some kind of a debt, then they're liable for that debt. That whoever's giving them that.
Why would you indemnify the city, though?
Because you don't want this. You don't want them to come after the city if the organization fails.
Well, they can't. You can't even put that in here. You know what I mean? You can do it either way.
You can
anybody can sue anything, you know. I mean, you can.
But you know,
you can put indemnification in simply. It doesn't necessarily have to be insurance. First of all, it could be a paragraph in the contract stating that they're accountable, you're not, and
right.
It says you indemnify the city from all liability. You don't necessarily have to have an additional expense directly related to it up front.
Mm-hmm. And I think that what Margaret just said is exactly right, because whatever organization gets these monies, they will have to enter into a contract with the city, and the contract can be hammered out so that it does include that indemnification.
They might as well know up front that it'll...
What you're saying is you have responsibility to pay for it, we don't, this is the provision, and you can do it with a paragraph. It's always better if you have a bond or insurance, because then you have a financial fund to take care of whatever happens.
So the point is you don't want to go all the way through this grant process, give them the grant, and then say, okay, now get this grant. You have to sign the contract. They get all the way in the contract, and they say, well, we can't indemnify.
Well, you won't be able to for a little while yet. It depends on when you want to indemnify.
Depends on the organization.
Well, it depends on how big the project is, too. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. So when I see indemnify, I like the first part of it, but I still feel it's going to mean somebody's going, well, let's just make them post a bond.
It's
a $15 million project, and it's not going to be built for 3 years. You're posting, we do this right now. The guy goes down to build a little lollipop thing here in the city. We've got to make them have a $1 million bond before they can even advertise to get the bid.
Well, I think by answering it yes or no, and let's say they answered it no, they won't, that doesn't necessarily knock them out, because we're not saying... We're asking the question, and I think at the end of the process, you can look at this whole thing and say, okay, the overall project.
Let's leave this question in for now. Here's my solution to this. Leave the question in for now, because at some point, as you read through this stuff, at some point, you know, when we actually get down to getting this ready to send out, our attorneys are going to have to take a look at it, and there is the anticipation that there will have to be a contract at some point with the organization that gets the grant money. So she's going to have to think ahead to that. What's going to be in that contract, and then what language should we put in at the front end, so to make sure that it will ask the question that she needs to have asked for the contract.
Yeah, I just have a big concern with the word indemnify. That's all. I mean, the rest of it, that's fine. But you want to make sure that they're not looking to, you know, cover you. But that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people.
So. Yeah, well, it has to be the proper language. I think it's more about financial.
Financial.
It says from financial liabilities right there.
Well, yeah, that, if you leave that, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the indemnify part is really scary.
Yeah.
Okay, so that stays for now.
For now?
Yeah.
And examine whether we don't. I think your concern is we don't want to discourage people from applying. So.
Jesus out of me.
No?
We don't want to discourage. Performance bonds
yeah.
or something.
Well, they, burn, they cost money.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't need these things.
That's yeah. my world.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So we'll, there might be a phraseology that would help not discourage people from applying because
right.
we really don't want to discourage them.
The law firm looks at
yeah.
it
okay.
be able to give us the proper language
okay.
here. Yeah.
Now, the next section is about where people come from, staying overnight, and the reason for the travel. Is this...
this is all pursuant to ORS.
It's a definition of tourist
mm-hmm.
yeah. okay. in the statute.
Okay.
So I think maybe at that point we ought to put some kind of something pursuant to ORS 320.300, 320.300, and then the rest of the questions are pursuant to that.
Okay,
to
that's
that.
A good idea.
Does that make sense? So people
so
understand
we, what was why that? Are, people understand why we're asking.
Yeah,
the next question,
the definition
all the rest of
tourist.
The questions are pursuant to the ORS statute.
Starting with, will the project...
Does the project encourage people to travel more than 50 miles? Yeah.
Yeah, but the ORS doesn't ask about the
so just,
pleasure
just
recreation.
Yeah,
oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, it does.
If you, what you have to do is parse through the statute. You're starting here with the definition of what a tourist is.
Yeah.
And they have a compound definition that they come for certain reasons, that they travel more than 50 miles, or they're encouraged to stay overnight.
That part, I've got. It.
Okay.
But the rest
okay.
of it,
yes, it
is
does
it required that the tourist has to do all five? All
no, five. Not all, no. all of them. It's that's an or. Each one of those is an or. But they have a list of things, business or pleasure or recreation, mm-hmm. events related to arts, events related to heritage, and so forth.
Well, yeah, check the boxes that apply would be something.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm getting at is that people look at that and go, I don't check that.
Here,
you know.
Here's an idea. Is the reason the project encourages people to come here due to one or more of the following?
Right.
Well, so actually, why don't we put one or more of the following? I think that gives the applicant
or,
the idea we're
check,
looking for one or more of the following.
Or check all that apply. Or,
well, yeah, because it says
yeah.
in the statute, it requires a person to travel more than 50 miles from their community of residence or includes an overnight stay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all
and that, they're related, because the farther
right.
you travel, the more likely you stay overnight.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
But, I mean, otherwise, you get as long as you make it understand that
increase?
More of the...
Right there.
That they're not required. I mean,
you're
going to get people
okay,
to check yes no matter what.
Right off the statute.
And one of the practical things here is if you're doing an exhibit space or a big space, you can encourage people to come for all sorts of reasons. The statute just simply provides a list of the ones that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Related to trade shows
well,
or exhibitions.
Well, all that apply it makes sense if you put that there.
Yeah.
Check
uh-huh,
yes. Because uh-huh. otherwise it looks like a penalty if you don't.
Okay, now,
well, let's say all that apply then. Check all,
check
that,
all
apply.
That apply. And do we want to include meeting space, exhibit space, facilities for conferences, facilities for banquets as part of that list?
They are actually two different qualifications. So if you put them in the
yeah.
same list, you might confuse people.
Confuse
you want at least one in each one of those areas.
Yeah.
So it's actually a second question where they have to have one. Though I can't imagine if you have meeting space, you couldn't use it for one or more of all of those things.
That's true.
Well, do you want to add recreation there?
Yeah, I was going to say, recreation you had left out.
It's there.
No, I mean on the second part. Is the project an
well,
achievement on
rental
property?
She's going strictly with the definitions from the ORS is what she's doing.
Yeah, but they also
yeah, but there's
recreation.
There's two different definitions playing in here.
That's at the very beginning. It's right
yeah.
out here.
Yeah, you have three definitions of the type of facility that you're trying to do. One is a conference center, which incorporates mm-hmm. reference something else.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the convention center, and this the exhibit space and conferences and banquets is regarding the definition of the convention center. And they probably overlap to some degree with what a conference center is, but they're two different things. They have two different definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And then both of those are incorporated by reference into the definition of a tourism facility.
Number nine,
and adds there to something called a visitor information center. So when the city asks for conference center, convention center, or tourism-related facility, they're overlapping themselves. Then you get a visitor information center, and that, by the definition, is 13, and that looks like some kind of organized display space to pass out information or an information desk. So the major definition that you actually have in the statute relates to exhibit space, conferences and banquets, ballrooms. Big spaces where a lot of people can be in.
Uh-huh.
And if you go with that, there's something later on that we can probably totally cross out. But, okay, this is, you know, you're talking about somewhere you can bring a group of people into.
Yeah, convention center, conventions and trade shows, exhibit space, ballroom space, meeting rooms, and any other associated space, not including but not limited to banquet facilities, loading areas, and lobby registration areas. So,
where's the recreation portion?
The word recreation is tourist. It is under the definition of tourist. Which is person who, for business, pleasure, recreation, or participation in events related to arts, heritage, culture, travels to the community in which the person is resident to a different community, etc. To a place unlimited, not where they live. And
right.
So a meeting space, a pool is a meeting space.
So why don't we just leave the question, is a project an improvement on real property with a useful life of 10 years or more and meets the definition of convention center?
Well, not convention center, but of a tourist.
No, because you've got two
tourist-related
facilities.
You've got three different things under it. And
this is that Margaret and I had a couple of emails back and forth, and that this is that this the crux of this is that the question's going to have to be answered at some point. My feeling is that the money that we have available isn't restricted completely by this definition, but that's my own opinion. I don't know where Jeff is on that or how the council feels on that. The money at this point has no real restrictions. It was originally collected for that, but the intent of the original piece, which is what the lodging folks are protecting, is the intent of that. In other words, they want to see that money go to something that's going to bring people here and put heads in beds.
Right.
So, then the question is, how strictly do you follow the definition? Do you use these definitions as a guideline for us, or do you follow this strictly by the letter of the law? And if you follow it strictly by the letter of the law, when you get to number 9, it says that a tourism-related facility means conference center, convention center, or visitor information center.
And. Not
10 years or more.
I have trouble with building a conference center. I've told you that last 9 years, but definitely. Okay.
So a nice 10.
The question is, how do you get to where you're looking at other facilities that are business, pleasure, recreation, events related, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's what really
tourism.
Unless our attorney says, no, this money is still restricted completely by the definition, and here's what it has to go for, and she can define us that to us directly, I don't think that's the case. I think the case is the council can say, all of these options we have in here are adequate and will fit the intent of what our intent is with the money.
So why don't we pull those three things out? Does the project meet the exhibit, conference, or banquets, and just leave, is the project improvement on real property with useful life to 10 years or more? Because you're basically answering that question that you're trying to get to up above.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I say we just eliminate those three options and just ask, is it going to be here for 10 years or more?
If you're thinking that the bottom three questions are not, one of those has to have a yes. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think they need to be there.
9B says much more than just has a useful life.
Yeah, I don't think they need to be there.
9B also says means other improved real property.
Yeah. And
so that opens it up to a large number of things.
That's right. Yeah.
Besides the conference.
I think the problem is that 9A has the word and at the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have an and means and.
Well, and that's where you're going to parse out. That's where you're going to kind of step over that definition and say, okay, yeah, this is the intent of the definition, but you're going to basically, we're going to pull that and out and say, does it do this or does it do this?
Right.
Does it do this? So I think by eliminating those three questions, you do that.
So, and in the narrative.
You're going to have to eliminate them or add a couple there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, my concern is that if you're really going to honor the and, you can't eliminate it. You have to have a series of questions there. If you want to ignore the and say that, okay, that doesn't apply, you're going to get projects that don't have the relationship to the conference center or the convention center or the visitor information center definitions.
I hope we do. Because actually the definition of tourist is what you're lacking here. You're not having those.
The definition of tourist is the previous question.
But you don't have it down here.
Because it's for a different part of the statute.
Well, yeah. But you don't even have it anywhere.
Yeah, it's 50, they travel 50 miles or more, they spend the night, and they come from.
But it looks as if you don't check yes, 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 you're blown out of the water.
So that's the question I was just going to say is, if these questions down here are going to be answered in the narrative, in the description of their project,
that's what I was thinking.
Then we can leave those three questions out, and we can say these are not qualifying questions.
Right.
I agree.
I'd go for that.
So, not is the project an improvement with a useful life of 10, only the three below it.
Right. Leave the 10 years or more.
Leave the 10 years or more in.
Yes.
So, what did you just say? Take the three out?
And that would be, is everybody on this committee comfortable with that concept? In other words, does that make sense to you, Anne?
Well, you know, what you were just saying, just like the certain ones that are required, you know, government agencies and so on, the rest of these seem not as important as that, as far as absolutely you have to qualify for that part.
Well, I think they'll answer it in the narrative, like you were saying.
I don't think they're now answered in the narrative unless you move those questions to the narrative.
Right. These.
Yeah,
okay. I agree.
Okay. You have to move them, not eliminate them.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
They have to be part of the narrative somehow.
But
I
you
agree
said
that.
The attorney has to finalize it. Okay, anyway, right? Before.
Yeah. Yes. The smallest question to ask is, does this money have any restrictions in the scope of the law? Okay. And if she says no, it has no restrictions. Then we can put the city council and the intent of this committee, we can put whatever restrictions we want on it because we're granting the money.
Okay. So the minimum restrictions are really just those legal ones then, right?
Well, we're using that definition to help us create our restrictions on the money.
Okay.
But we're not.
With the goal being tourism.
Yeah.
And maybe if we really want to do it that way, then maybe what we need to do is just take what Margaret has done. And not even reference the state statutes, or I don't know how you do that, or what.
If
you
you're not going to bind yourself to the statute, then you probably shouldn't put it in there.
And it would be confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
It would become
because
confusing.
That would be something that people will demand. Okay, I complied. They didn't. Why did they get it?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want the ability to not be bound by what the statute says because you think that's okay, then don't put it in there.
Yeah, so you would just say, somebody says, well, where did you come up with this idea 50 miles from the city? And we say, well, that's part of the that's part of the state. It's a state definition of who a tourist is.
And we've decided we want to encourage tourism.
And really, basically, I think to me, that this process that we're going through and that the city council will review is following the intent of the money, and that's what the council really wants to do. That's what the lodging folks would like to see happen. Mm-hmm. They want to see this money get used. They've requested, please get this money out into the community, and this follows their intent, the intent of it. And I think I can't speak for all the council members, but I think it really does do that. If we don't restrict ourselves to convention center, conference center, and information center, if we don't restrict ourselves to those specific definitions, we're going to be much better off.
Mm-hmm. We'll have better applicants that are able to do more creative uses of the money by not being that restricted. So do people feel good about it?
Does everybody agree with that?
Okay. I do.
Okay, so when you read this narrative and you look at the history of where the money, what's happened with the money, it's such a convoluted process at this point. If we wanted to do a specific fund, and then it got here, and then it got there, and then it got there.
I tried to explain it to
someone. There are a few individuals, and I'll just put this out there so everybody knows, there are a few individuals that do feel it should be just for used as the original intent was for the Expo Center.
Mm-hmm.
But as a general consensus, the lodging folks want it just to be used for something. As tourism
related.
Tourism related. And so I think that would add a nice line to the top paragraph, which is the intention of this fund is to support tourism. Yeah, I mean, just something that's real bald, plain old fact. and have that kind of like right off the bat.
Well, it goes back to the first paragraph and changing what it says.
Yeah, changing that to say this in the simplest way.
Yeah.
So the applicant is saying, okay, it's not as tied down as to the type of facility, but it is tied down that it should be for tourism.
Yeah. And we're having Christie's coming in. This would be really hard to explain over the phone.
Is this so Christie's, your city attorney?
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll be here on the 19th. And so I'll just make sure I have a little bit of a moment to sit down and ask her to, you know, to try to focus her on just that one very, very specific question. Does this money have any encumbrance at all? Or is it really the city's to utilize?
Because there is an argument out there from a specific individual. Yeah, it could be challenged. So, yeah, we need to clarify that.
Yeah.
Well, Tracy, how big is the group that you've heard from that want it for just an expo center?
Not very big. I mean, you know, our lodging group is primarily in support of it. It's just a couple of vocals.
The other thing about it is the timing of when the tax was put in place and collected was before the state statute was revised.
Interesting.
So there's
that's hard to say. It's going to be.
It's going to get down to a really nitty gritty little thing. It's like, well, you know. The tax, the city council, if you go back and look at the minutes from the city council, they imposed the tax and they said, we're going to designate this much for that. But then that didn't happen.
Right.
And there was never any further action, which is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The council didn't say, okay, well, the convention center is going to get built. Okay, this is what we're going to
reallocate
this money for. But the tax was levied prior to the state legislation, which does limit any future taxes to be. I mean, if this money was collected after that state statute, then we would be restricted by it.
Is all of the money collected before that date? Absolutely all of it.
No.
Well, I don't know. I think
it was collected afterwards.
The whole thing was that the tax was levied and put in place prior to the legislation, and the legislation was that any taxes levied prior to are exempt from this.
Taxes. What you have is a fund that comes before. You've got flexibility with before.
After the
statute goes in,
you
have no flexibility.
So what we have to do is just get that definitive, a statement from our attorney at least.
Okay.
It may not be definitive. Somebody can always test it, of course. But that would be the thing, would be just to have her say, the money in reality is not encumbered. And therefore, you can say...
Or how much money is unencumbered in the fund.
Well,
because
right
you've allocated $1 million for this particular thing,
but
and you can always...
Some of the other money's already been used. I mean...
Well, no. What you do, Mark, what you do is you say, this $1 million came from what came before.
Yeah.
And you have some way to make sure that it did.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, I don't think you're going to find projects that you're going to approve that wouldn't meet the test now.
Except for, unless you want to stick...
Well, no, but because this is not the only one, because it says that tourism can go to recreation facility. It's not listed here.
Well, it's still recreation in terms of that recreation is a tourist. A tourist can come for recreation, but so a tourist can come for a gaming convention, and I'm not talking gambling. There's other things called gaming. You could have a backgammon tournament. You could have a football tournament if you had the facilities. You know, it's more than
bridge.
Yeah. Bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, any game,
show.
Book show, chess, fantasy role-playing games, anything that would draw a group of people wanting to do something. I do. I've been to it a long time ago. Now everybody's doing it on computer, but there's a group of people who want to play a certain type of game with a bunch of different people, and yes, it's a convention. And they often dress science fiction, and you'll have the Republican convention right next to the Klingons, and they have to dress. It happened at one convention in Spokane. They had a Republican conviction a science fiction convention, and the Republicans adjusted, though it took a little bit.
Hard to tell them apart.
The only concern that I'm going to have if we do deviate from it, and I think you're right, Mark, the intent is to use this money in the right way.
In its broader sense.
If you remove the and here, I mean, I know of one individual in particular who would like to use the money to do something like build roads. So we got to have to be really careful if we're not going to use that statute, that we are very, very clear what it is.
Right. Well,
I have roads are used by tourists, but I have trouble putting it as a tourist function.
Well, and that's the fuzzy area. Yeah. I mean, it's been done before. It's been attempted before.
But that's the state. That's been the current legislative issues that have been churning this past legislative session. So really, I mean, the crux of the matter is, Tracy, is that if our attorney says that the money is the city's money to spend the best way they see fit, basically, that it's not encumbered in any way, then we can encumber it. Right.
Using 10A and B is what, it's rather than using, relying heavily on 9A and B, we're relying heavily on 10A and B, which is what our front page is now reflecting.
Yeah, and 9B is the 10 years or more, think is what we want.
But
and
you can't
I
really
don't think
do
we're
that in the discretion of the
conference center.
What's that?
You can't really do that because you have a definition of tourist, which is then goes into the tourist-related facility. Both definitions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't parse out something.
You can't say.
Oh, I thought you could parse out tourism and say this is what tourism means.
Well, this is not the way this is particularly constructed.
Oh. It's very oddly done.
Well, they're trying to cover and be comprehensive, but a tourism-related facility has to include a tourist, or you wouldn't have a different definition. Yeah.
Well, if you had one more line here, tourist-related facility, then it would work, but you don't have that.
Well, that's the title of the whole fund.
Tourism facility grant.
Either leave it out or
tourism facility grant, yeah.
Mark, here's a dumb question. You said nothing had been done and it hadn't been reallocated since that time. The city can't reallocate it now?
It has been reallocated. It's sitting in a contingency fund right now for us, for this purpose.
Okay.
Did you see this whole history?
Well, Julie, I think the simple answer to your question is, yeah, they could reallocate it and put it into the general fund, but I think there would be
unpopular,
very brutal.
What I was thinking is because he said the first time it was for the convention center,
right,
and nothing had been reallocated since then. So we were trying to link tourism and not just convention.
Although some of the money has been used. There was more money than $1 million collected. Some of the money has been used. Mm-hmm. And so
did they have fun with it?
Yeah, that's right.
The Bayfront project.
The defunct project.
The real question is September 19th is when this is going to be presented to the city attorney for a ruling on how
before that probably.
Well, if I get a chance to have her look at it before that, I will. Otherwise, I'll talk with her on the 19th.
I think we really need that talk before we proceed.
Yeah, we get too much farther.
Yeah. You need at least a definitive legal opinion before going forward of what they say is possible or impossible, so you can say
either that or these three questions stay, and we move forward.
Well, you may want to add a couple more because I'm not sure I had everything out of that.
Under 9 tourism-related facility, we're hanging a lot on our definition of and. I've always read that to mean that it opens it up to a fourth area besides conference center, convention center, and visitor information center. But you're saying that an attorney may say we're not limited to any of this.
Well, if you're going to look just at that provision, you have two things. You've got two things that have to be met. It either is a conference center, a convention center, or a visitation center, and it is an improvement on real property. So it can be a conference center, but it still has to be the improvement on real property. It can be a convention center, but it still has to be an improvement on real property. It's an information center, but it still has to be an improvement on real property 10 years or more.
See, I read that as saying 1, 2, 3, and 4.
No. That's not how you construct the statute, no. You have those things as alternates.
Well, I'd like to hear from the city attorney.
Yeah, we will. But my point is on that is that if it is restricted by the definition, then we still want to go forward with the grant process and ask people to submit us projects that will fit
what our criteria are.
In the past, recreation facilities have been vetted through the state people that do the tourism, and they're fine.
There may
be
precedent set already, like Jeff said. You know, the attorney may be able to say...
This thing wasn't just set up for convention centers.
This is fine. We have the precedent. Here's some cases that have occurred that have... You know,
it's for tourist-related facilities.
So, regardless of whether or not we keep those in, I mean, I think your recommendation is to take that part out and to stick with this broader definition.
I would like clarification.
Yeah, and then the clarification we need to have. But regardless, we want the grant program to move forward.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So can we move forward on pages 2 and 3, regardless? I would like to. And then if things legally have to, for some reason, have to be adjusted, that could happen after we have done the best that we can on creating an application. I mean, applications are kind of general. You know, we looked at the Oregon Community Foundation, and we looked at a bunch of other examples. And in a sense, they're all a little bit the same, because you want to hear from your applicant how do they, what are they planning on doing, and to describe it. And so this is the section where they start with a brief project description. And so, let's look at the top paragraph and see if this is going to make the application, give us what we need from it. So it's got check boxes when those apply. It's got short answers and it's got narrative. The length of the question when the answer is open, however. The application, try to answer the questions, keep the overall length to 5 pages. Do people feel good about that?
5 pages of
five pages is the maximum.
Of narrative, because you're still going to have more to the application because you're going to have budgets. And
well, there, the attachments will be the thing that we talk about, I think, next.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if there's something that goes into the attachment instead, we can go back and forth a little bit. Mm-hmm. So let's just look at the 5 page max section, and then we'll look at the attachments. We've got the groupings.
One more quick thing.
Yes.
At the top there. A lot of these granting companies or granting places, you know, they say that they give you some parameters on how small the type can be and how much you can cram onto a page and
well,
blah,
that's
blah,
right.
blah.
It makes
that's
some
right.
sense. Even mm-hmm. the law does that when they're doing pleadings to the appellate courts. You usually do not, they can go down to very small type. They can do 8-point type, which is hard to read. I usually use standard 12, but uh-huh. yes, you may want mm-hmm. to, and the question is whether it's double spaced or proportional space. Proportional space actually gives you more words on the page than non-proportional space. And double spacing, okay. single spacing, 12-point times Roman is what mine is. Makes it easy.
Oh, that's
to
what this is right
yeah,
now.
That's
12.
12-point times.
I don't think we're going to see 100 of these. So I think with 10, I don't think you have to get that restrictive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most people probably are not going to go down to 8-point
no.
time.
No,
you
don't.
But I think the biggest question is whether or not it has to be double spaced. Because double spaced is easier to read, but you can fit more into it. So
some of these are questions, yes or no. So
I haven't seen too many grant applications that require the narrative to be double spaced. I've seen
okay.
some, but not.
Me too. Some, but not
majority,
by no means not all.
Mostly single. Yeah.
So if you don't want to restrict it, that's fine. I mean, you guys are going to be the ones reading it. So.
But the point of type. I mean, saying 12 point is there's nothing wrong with saying 12 point.
If people can't say it in 5 pages, there's probably an issue.
Well, it may be that some people don't know how to.
12-point single space is nice because it does give you more space between the lines too, because the space between is 12 points also.
That's right.
So yeah.
So how about
if
we say 12?
Five pages of 12-point single space narrative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. 5 pages of 12-point single space narrative.
And that you're not going to disqualify somebody if they do.
You might. I
mean, well,
they can't follow
really
simple directions.
No, that's simple, and it gives them a lot of words.
There's a lot of words. You want some structure. You want to. Sometimes the questions are sort of short answer. Maybe a yes or no, but maybe you want a sentence or two. You don't necessarily want them to think each question has to go on for 10 pages. You just want them to.
And do you think saying the 5-page limit is enough, or we have to say that brevity is good or anything like that, or should we just leave it at the 5?
No, I would
okay.
leave that out.
Okay. So generally, that is that paragraph is
okay.
Is okay. And then the briefly describe the project. They can decide what's brief because that's part of the five pages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
my thinking is a short paragraph.
Yeah, and the person who's reviewing them, it's going to be very helpful for the grant readers to have that project.
To clarify, Margaret, you said, you don't need a short paragraph. What is the total cost of the project?
No, I want a short paragraph. When I say project description, I'm putting it by itself. I want them to give us a handle on what it is.
This is the first item, project description, brief
description.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's it. Okay.
Very first thing.
They're not numbered, I get it.
Right, I didn't put numbers in, but yet, okay.
It'll be its own heading, though.
Yeah, and we want to have some handle on it, even a title of this is the so-and-so project, but you want to have some idea what they're talking
about.
Okay,
I didn't see it as a question, I saw it, okay.
Yeah. One of the things that you might want to include somewhere is, do you want a specific number of applications? I mean, do you want enough for your committee plus a couple? Because a lot of grant applications require us to submit
like five copies
or whatever. Do you want them to be hard copies? Do you want them to be on thumb drives?
I hadn't even thought about it.
Well, the question is whether you're going to do it electronically or hard copy. If it's hard copy, the question is, do you want them to provide the copies or do we want to make the copies?
Right.
We want them to provide the copies.
Right. Yeah, particularly when you have the attachment, some of those could be voluminous.
Right.
And copying is, of course, the five pages of the proposal is going to be much easier to review than the stack of documents that go along with it.
If they submit it electronically, how are we going to access that? Electronically.
That's part of the mechanics.
We email them, but I think it's better in this particular situation, this is just my thought, if we required hard copies and a specific number.
Right.
The county grant program does require a hard copy. You can fill it out electronically, of course, but one copy, hard copy, does get submitted.
I think that makes sense, but I think it'd be better, at least from the staff's perspective, if they provided.
Okay,
it's expensive and time-consuming.
Right. So you need one for every member of the city council, one for every member of this committee, one potentially if there's a legal review to go to the attorney, and the question is, do you have any more do you need?
Well, we have to have one for the record.
But my thinking is if you just had a set for everybody on this committee and then one for the record, because it's this committee that's going to make recommendations to the city council, so the city council may not be seeing all of them.
Or they could always see
them electronically. They can request a copy.
They're going to need a copy eventually.
But we can,
they can do that electronically.
We would do that electronically anyway. Yeah. It would be included as a part of the packet. Yeah. So as long as we have one hard copy for staff,
So you have seven people on the committee, and you have the council liaison.
Ten copies would be perfect.
Ten would be fine, yeah.
Eight, nine is you guys.
No.
Not you guys. David Allen will be your liaison when you get ready to review.
Oh, and Jeff?
No.
Just David Allen.
Yes, because he's not participating in any community organizations that are going to make grant requests.
Fair enough.
We want to remove ourselves from the
actual least amount of conflict of interest.
Yeah.
So appearances matter.
Okay.
So well,
I wouldn't even want to be part of it.
Ten copies sounds like the right amount, and that would be in the instructions of how to.
Okay. Thank you.
Double sided is great. I think
double sided is great. Thank you.
So that part of it'll be in the instructions, and it'll be very clearly stated. The five page section that we're asking from them. And then we can make this a little bit more section by section by section. Now, the first section is business plan and budget. And right up front, the grant readers are seeing, that's a summary of information because they're going to attach a financial statement. And total cost, amount requested, ratio of request to the total cost. What funds have all been... Now, I think this might be the section where we wanted to possibly add the match requirement.
Yeah.
And I developed some language on it, and I wasn't super happy with what I did, but the way that I stated it was a one-to-one match in funding is needed for consideration. And then the next line is a higher degree of leverage would merit extra consideration.
Would that be a qualification?
Well, that's what I'm throwing out there, whether
well,
or not
I mean, you could
that
put it in this question,
needed.
Though. Will a one-to-one matching funds ratio, will there be a one-to-one matching funds ratio?
We can state it like that. If the committee decides it is required.
Well, we have $1 million, and when I was thinking, we talked about the matching, and I have trouble that we can really build a convention center these days for $1 million. We probably have to get matching funds in order to build it.
Yeah.
It's a size consideration. So
right, except for that I've heard some rumblings of a few people that they have smaller projects that they're looking at, mm-hmm. and they're not necessarily looking mm-hmm. for a match. And mm-hmm. some people are saying, well, don't chop the $1 million up into a bunch of little tiny little pieces mm-hmm. that just mm-hmm. sort of fritter away. We never see an impact. So,
mm-hmm. You want it big enough to be
And the other, side is don't give it all to one.
Well, sure. You want to somehow spread it around, but not make it useless. Yeah. Okay.
Right. You know, my only feeling is you know, unless they're going to match the amount of funds that are going in, that are being granted to them, they don't have as much of an ownership in that. I mean, I call it skin in the game. You know, you can call it anything you want, but you know, you've got to be equally invested in this as the city is going to and the money they're going to give you. So, I you know,
and that
whatever the rest of you decide, I'm sticking with one to one at least.
No, I think that was the general feeling of the group at our last, and that's why I wrote this plain, bald-faced: a one to one match in funding is needed for consideration. Whether it should be in here in the instructions,
I think what the reasoning is on that.
I think it's qualification too.
I just want to hear your reasoning on why you think it's so important to have that. I know skin in the game and like that, but what is the ratio request? Is it an open-ended question? Rather, you're saying you absolutely have to, but it really limits again the field of mm-hmm. people who can apply, which I was concerned about.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to get more consideration for the leverage and all that. Just seems very restrictive. To me, all I'm saying is I just sort of disagree with it, but I might be the only one. So,
well, it's a common requirement that the person who's providing the funding doesn't want to own more than 50, you know, have the more than 50% of a stake in mm-hmm. in something, because the nonprofit itself should be the person that's providing most of the funding.
And it's a factor in if they're going to be able to get the project to fruition.
Uh-huh.
Like I've seen in looking at grants, one was a Celeste Library. They came for a grant in the very beginning. We're told, you know, you're just not ready yet. You don't have the money. You know, you've got to get some money raised and stuff to be able to do it. Come back to us when you did. So they did. They went out and raised money and made it work and then applied and got there. You know, it's kind of
and this fund is kind of interesting because you don't get the money right away.
Yeah.
So an applicant could be having that one-to-one match a year down the road.
Well,
and this is the audience brought up at our last meeting.
Funds already raised, too, right? Yeah.
Funds already raised would match. Mm-hmm. Volunteer labor is sometimes qualified because it has a monetary value.
Right.
And if we say we want a one-to-one match required, but there's that they can match it with any other type of money, mm-hmm. And I think they'll all be able to do that.
So, and it speaks
to
the viability of the
project,
too.
Yeah, because we're not saying, oh, you have to have this exact type of money.
I mean, if you're not willing to put at least 50% of your own money into the project, how viable is this project? How much do they really believe it's going to happen?
Some of those questions are interesting here.
You're going to clarify maybe the only thing, the one-to-one match of the total price of the project. That's what I would...
Okay, well,
the one-to-one match of the grant.
Of the grant.
I see
well,
what
the total price would be
concerns.
The same thing. You know, if you're $200,000, but if you're going for $500,000, you're ahead of that.
If they're asking for $500,000, then the total cost of the project is $1 million. It meets the criteria.
Right.
If the total cost is $2 million, then great. It's 4 to 1. Or
well, that's what I mean. But I mean, just to clarify, maybe just say the total project cost, and it makes a little.
No, your concern is right. That they wouldn't be able to come to the table necessarily with their match, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. The way we want to set this up, so we can say, you know, here it is. Now go find your match.
Okay. By the time you get the money,
gives you a 2 years or whatever. So
okay. By the time you get the money,
so they have to demonstrate a plan to where they're going to mm-hmm. go find their other match. And things.
So the question is, where there'll be a 1-to-1 or greater match by completion of the project.
Right.
Okay, that's perfect.
And you want to include.
I love that question actually.
That allows for cash and in-kind matches.
Hello?
Well,
that would be something to throw out there. It's not
probably
not necessarily.
They need to know that, especially if volunteer labor, because that's right. An in-kind match. Because
what
it
happens
also
is
on what kind of in-kind labor.
Well, I think the question like she just mentioned. Yeah, well, however you do it, if you give the person $100,000 and the project cost is only $120,000, that's a problem.
So,
but if it's a $200,000 project, it's met.
They could meet it by having volunteer construction labor.
Exactly. But the project, the qualifier is how much the project costs, not how much that's what you're.
But I'm trying to get this question right so that we can develop a form for you all to look at your next meeting. And are we looking under business plan
and budget
and considering the inclusion of a question that might read something like, can applicant provide a 1-to-1 match of grant monies by completion of project?
I put, will there be a 1-to-1 or greater match by completion of the grant?
Now, if we put that down, does the applicant know that it's required?
Yeah.
What if they just say, the answer is no, and then they keep on filling out the application?
That's true. That's where you're saying it should be in the qualification. So,
but you do have, you have to put out your financial plan somewhere. I read here. You have to state it with the big
word. But we don't want to lead them on. We don't want to lead them down a very complicated application where they don't realize that they need to be one.
And I
match.
Think the timing issue is a little bit fuzzy because you want the 50-50 by the match by the end of the project. That's one thing. On the other hand, we aren't going to release the money until a certain stage is released, and we haven't specified anything about the match at that stage. I mean, my concern again is that if you give them too much slack after you release the money, it may not be there.
The money's gone.
Which is kind of what happened with Expo Funds. I mean, that's kind of where that happened. They raised all that money.
They had it,
and it fell apart, and now we're sitting here with it. So I understand what you're saying. I think what you're saying is, we won't know whether they had a matching grant until the completion of the project, but yet we're releasing the funds earlier to them to pay for it.
No, there's no mention of releasing funds here. You're not. In other words, they got to have the money pretty much all set together. Then they start, boom, they can go out and hire the contractor. He's not going to start without that.
Well, then her question isn't a valid question.
Well, yeah, it is, because the idea, this is in the future. She's thinking, are you at the time you're going to start building, are you going to have a 1-to-1 match?
That's not what the question says.
She was at completion, which is after.
Oh, now I don't think that's what you meant, completion, by the start.
By completion. Her says by completion, and I think I agree. It needs to be by start.
Start.
Not start. Start of construction.
Start of construction.
Or say completion of fundraising.
Yeah, you could do that.
Completion of fundraising.
But no, they may have an ongoing fundraising that's going on through the. I don't like that.
Start of the project.
Well, it depends
on the projected start of the project. That
that's
work.
Clear.
I can be flexible if they need a little bit more money before the end of the project. They can start because they got the lion's share. But you don't want them starting when they have 10% and they have 90% to do.
Yeah.
If they have 10% less, then you can have them ongoing fundraising. They probably can get that.
How do you write that into that?
Yeah, I know.
How do we make it clear to that the applicant is expected to do something?
Just say that.
Then just say that, and then we don't have a question. We have a statement.
Yeah,
at the very beginning of the very beginning of business project.
What is the qualification? Why don't you just either put the one, say it must be at least a 1-to-1 match, or say will you provide a 50% or greater match?
Or you can say, yeah.
Well, you can do it by percentage, or you can do it.
Grant requester is expected to provide a one-to-one match for the project.
At least, you have to say.
At least a one-to-one match.
Okay. My only problem with just putting it in the qualifications is that it's divorced from business plan, and they may not make the connection.
I think you leave it in there, too.
We're talking about putting it under the line that says business plan and budget colon.
What is the ratio request is good, I think. I mean,
what is the ratio is good, but it doesn't say what we're expecting. Yeah.
But that needs to be in the qualifications.
So is that on the earliest page?
Yep. I think it's right in the
first page is the
both places. You leave it both places, sure.
Okay.
It's not in the first place.
It could be the fourth in the first paragraph.
Third, the merits of the project must be weighed and held. And then fourth project must meet one-to-one match qualification.
Where are you guys again?
On that very first paragraph where it says first, mm-hmm. second, mm-hmm. third, and then says fourth, project is expected to meet one-to-one match.
Oh, second,
match.
Third, fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth,
project
got it.
Project is expected
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, fourth,
to
yeah.
meet one-to-one match, grant
or,
match.
Or greater.
Or greater.
Would you just do that as a question with a yes-no box?
Yeah, when you do it as a question with a yes-no box, you haven't told the applicant what you're expecting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we tell them the qualifications, and then we can add it again here.
And add it again there.
Yeah.
Because then we want to capture if it's greater than one-to-one. That's good to capture.
You want to say at least a one-to-one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right.
At least.
So the guy, if someone comes to you and like, I'm going to apply for this grant.
At least one-to-one.
I guess I don't want you to do it now because I don't qualify. I'm not going to fill it out.
Right.
Well,
I mean, realistically.
Or they have to think of a way to make themselves
qualify. First paragraph, very succinct. Yeah.
Here's what you could do.
The rest of it gives you even more broader. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, I meet everything on here. Now I'll go ahead and fill it out.
Here's what you could do in the qualification. Say, project meets a minimum 50% match.
Yeah,
or project meets expected match of 50% or greater.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no.
It is expected that any applicant will contribute 50% or more to their project.
Well, that's the qualification.
That's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not quite the same when you say 50%. Now, does that mean I got to contribute? It's a one-to-one is quite clearer than 50%. Now, so if I have to contribute 50% of the total price now is what I'm looking at. It's not as clear as the grant money you received or something like that.
We have figured that out. Somehow.
Yeah, okay. We'll draft it.
But I think we all agree on the intention and where it'll go, which will be first the fourth thing in the top paragraph. Yeah. And then under business plan and budget, can we just leave it because it's been captured because we're asking the ratio?
Right.
And if it's more than one-to-one, do we want to tell the applicant that they merit a better consideration if it is? Or do we not even...
You need to probably know any of these questions. You haven't identified if they're a higher rating or lower rating, so that's later. I think.
I think it's later, and frankly, a lot of them are going to have to work hard to get the money, and doing better than that is going to be a good thing. But they don't necessarily have the means to do it, and they may, if they want to earn more, may want to put it to some other aspect.
I think to those that truly are going after this and have a project in mind, that's a question that they're going to know has some weight to it. The higher ratio. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have what is the ratio of the request to the total cost?
What you really need to do is, as part of the application packet, you need to give them a copy of the rating sheet that you're going to use.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not asking them to fill it out, but you give them a copy of it. Say, this is the rating sheet that we're going to use.
Okay.
So that they can see, and that's where they'll see where your weighting is, because it'll help them to understand how to be more succinct in their application, right?
Yep.
Well, no, they'll just make sure that they focus on the ones that you think are important.
That's right.
So are we going to try to...
That's now, not a bad thing.
That's why I put them in this order.
Are we going to go to 11:30 today, or do you want to go longer? Because I would like to get to the rating sheet, but I don't know if we can get that far. I think it sounds like it's an important next step. So let's just keep going. If people have to leave at 11:30, that's fine. Business plan and budget, anything more on that? What funds have already been raised? What funds remain to be raised? You know, sometimes the question is asked you to, under raised, you're planning on raising this, but what has been committed? You know, like the Siletz tribe has given us the money. I mean, they've approved our grant, but we don't have the money yet. So well, do we want to find out what stage they're at?
Well, it's up to you guys.
Well, I think you did that. What funds have already been raised? What funds remain to be raised? And how are the remaining funds to be raised? I don't understand what your question is.
Committed, but not yet.
Committed, but raised, you don't, but you don't have. What do you mean by raised? Do you have the money in the bank, or is it committed?
Raised or committed. Do you want to ask that question? What is the source of funds already
raised? That might be a valid question.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think I've had the sources that
kind. I think that's a valid.
The other question that you talked about earlier too was in kind.
Mm-hmm.
In kind is a huge can of worms.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to have some kind of something in there that says that it's real dollars that you're asking for there, or are you saying how? What funds remain? What funds have already been raised for the project? Are you going to allow them to say, "Well, we've got in-kind contributions up"? Blah blah blah.
Well, I would think
I don't know.
Probably in the case there, it's going to be your guys' discretion. What do you feel that's, you know, you're going to score it? Yeah. What you think is going to happen? So
maybe that would be on the scoring sheet.
Yeah,
you get higher points if you have
exactly.
cash.
I mean, I don't think you're going to.
I mean, because you know what I'm saying.
Because you can't eliminate them.
You can use in-kind. You can inflate in-kind value. You can deflate in-kind value, but most people inflate in-kind value tremendously.
Right.
And
yes,
you can. It's not tangible.
Right. Okay.
I think it's a valid question to ask, what is the source?
I do too, because if you don't ask that, you don't really know if they've got the money.
Right.
Right.
You don't know. Well, I mean, we don't know if... You know,
but if they list all the sources, it might be a long list.
Or, a long list.
I think it's a valid question.
But and then it how would you think they can do it? It's all invested in the project.
I think it's a valid question.
So what funds have already been raised for the project include the source?
Yeah.
Include the source?
Or you could do a checklist here of the types of funding, because yes, if you have each individual donor that donates a dollar and you have to list them, you're going to not be five pages. So you might want to have some check boxes saying, categories where...
Well, if it's already been raised, I mean, it's in the bank, so who cares where it came from in some regards?
Well, see, a lot of grants that I've applied for, they want to know if you're using your own, you know, you have cash in the bank, they want to see that you're using, like, X number of dollars from your bank account.
So here's what you do. You separate it into those kinds of categories. You say cash. What funds have already been raised for the project? Cash on hand. Grants pending or grants received.
Grants
committed.
Grants committed.
Or something like that.
You don't want to say grants.
I like grants received. Grants pending. Because you want to know that if it's
grants received would be in
grants
the bank.
Pending is where they talk about how are the remaining funds to be raised.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are covering that. So we could just say. List sources by category or...
No, you've given the category.
What funds have already been raised? Cash on hand, grants received.
Grants promised.
Donations. You might want to include that because...
Well, cash on hand would be donations, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, it's two different things. Future donations. You're trying to say what you haven't got, what you have got
pledges.
Already.
Donations.
Yeah.
Pledged.
Pledged
dollars.
Like I say, you wouldn't need to have grants received because that's
in
your bank.
It could be somebody's will, but you know,
let us just
not necessarily. I mean, you might have a grant that's received that's not cash in the bank yet. That's ours, kind of a grant.
They won't know necessarily that it's
ours. Well, you wouldn't say received. You just say grants pending.
Or grants awarded.
Grants awarded.
Grants awarded, period, instead of grants committed and grants received.
Right. Yeah. Cash on hand, grants awarded, pledged dollars.
Pledged
other.
Donations or other. Yeah.
And then other.
Maybe three or four categories.
It would fit under what funds have already been raised for the project, cash on hand, grants awarded. How are the remaining funds to be raised? Pledged grants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pledges,
yeah.
Okay. That's perfect.
You differentiate
that
the
goes
time.
Under there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
You're talking about what are we actually
what actually you already have now versus
what are you getting later?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So by letting the second and third be narrative, will that cover it okay, and the first one has categories?
Well, the first, both of them had categories.
Yeah. What funds remain to be raised for the project is just a straight dollar amount,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's just
what funds
oh, that's
argue?
A dollar amount.
That's
okay.
A dollar amount. Second, what funds remain to be raised for...
Explain. So one, yeah, the what funds have already been raised and how much is remaining. Those will have the same category.
Okay.
It'll be the difference.
Because we'll ask for sources again, right?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we can make this. We'll do something.
Yeah, I'm always
okay
with Margaret tweaking it there and then bringing it to us. And
well, Peggy's
Peggy.
And this word explain goes with the previous.
Explain. Together they'll work on it.
Okay, so actually, then it's a provide a service. The city funds require continued support from the city. Timeline for completion, plan for operations, financial stability, and viable business plan. Anything that you want to fix, change, eliminate, add on the rest of business plan and budget?
I guess I don't really understand that question. How does the project demonstrate a viable business plan?
Demonstrate a viable business plan.
Because our question was, does the project demonstrate a viable business plan? And here it is having them explain how they think they're viable.
Well, don't you want them to just attach their business plan?
I think that's a good idea.
Just attach
I would want both, frankly.
Yeah.
I want them to give a little explanation how they think their business plan would work. You know, they may put that in their business plan, but the business plan can be 15, 20 pages. Can you give us a succinct paragraph that says why they think they're going to be able to succeed?
I think that's a good question. Should be able to answer that one.
But isn't that included in the financial stability and plan for operations over 3 to 5 years?
They only got 5 pages to fill out, so you got to remember they left it narrow.
Plan for operations over a period.
No, just because they have a plan for operations doesn't mean they think it's viable, but of course they shouldn't have a plan they don't think is viable.
That's wrong.
The answer is already yes. They have a business plan. You're going to explain.
Yeah.
But by having the next two questions, we are probably going to be rating them on viability. And, you know, just like the bank would for a small business loan.
You're prompting them to address an issue that it concerns us.
And that we would rate them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we look at the projections and the business plan, and that's mm-hmm. all in there
on
that. Mm-hmm. It's not a separate question, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean... To me, an answer to this question would be to say, well, we've based our business plan on a conservative estimate, you know, or kind of explain a little bit how they formulated their business plan mm-hmm. so that you mm-hmm. kind of understand a little bit more about what the numbers are inside mm-hmm. there.
And what their experience is with those kind of issues, whether it's a brand new idea or not.
Yeah.
Well, we're giving them an opportunity to persuade us that they're viable.
And they could also just say that, you know, explanation, please read the first 5 pages of my business plan.
They could say that. They could
plan.
Say that they better not have a really long
business plan.
Well,
that's the problem. About the viability anyway. Yeah.
Are we making a business plan a sixth attachment?
I put that down.
Yeah, I agree.
Why don't we look at the attachments?
What about number 3, business plan, which includes budgets for 3 years, 5 years?
Well, they don't do that usually on business plans.
Does a business plan include a budget attachment?
Yeah, but not for 5 years.
Not for operation.
Right, but
well,
somebody
should have at least a 3-year projection.
Oh. So instead of just saying budget, say business plan with budget.
Okay, business
which
plan.
Which includes budget.
Yeah, business plan, which includes budget.
So that'll be an adaption to attachment number 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Business plan that
including
includes
budget.
You think that's an attachment to number 3?
Well,
it is going to substitute for number 3.
Page 3.
Oh, so take 3 out.
Number 3 attachment.
Business plan including a budget.
Business plan.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Budget. It'll be business plan
business
including
plan
budget.
With the budget.
With the budget.
Budget we'll yeah. Well, so I guess my question for you then is do you guys want to see some kind of an operating plan, I mean, does the business plan include like a 3-year projection of?
Generally, business plans.
Typically, they would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 to 5 year projection.
Of not 5, but usually 3.
Usually there's 3.
Okay.
Mine well, it's going to support the viability argument that they've made to us.
So, hopefully
the two of them
is
do.
Is budget your project?
It is. Has
or
to
is
be
it your operations?
Well, you have two different things, yeah.
So you need to have
two different things.
Mm-hmm. A separate piece.
We didn't already ask for that, right?
I don't know.
He's looking at the attachment.
Generally, in the business plan, you also have, if you're building something, you have what it's, you have to figure the project's in the business plan.
Project budget is a separate page, we have to have it.
So you say.
But it's in the business plan.
You say business plan, including 3-year projection of operations and project.
Including 3-year operations budget and project budget.
Yeah, you have to.
Yes.
Yeah. So you need to make sure you say that this is what you at least expect to see in there, right?
Mm-hmm. And project.
Because I don't know how else you're going to.
And I wasn't crazy about number 5. It says timeline
budget
for project construction. Shouldn't that
that's
be
a lot of work
completion?
Don't we just
really want to know when they're going to be done with their stuff?
Well, my thinking was that you can graph it out easily or you can put a narrative. And when you do it as an attachment, I was thinking of more of a graphed out thing where you could see that they have months that they've graphed out what kind of things they intend to have due by a specific point.
Are you going to be, well, the only question I would have there is, are you going to have enough personal expertise to look and see whether that's even more reasonable enough.
Is that to support?
I don't know if the concrete's done.
Here's what I think the intent there is. The intent there is you say, okay, we're going to raise money until 2013, and it's going to take 5 years to build it.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
what you want to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the information you're looking for is like how long are you anticipating your fundraising to take,
mm-hmm.
and then how long will it take for the building to get done.
When
that's
we
what
up
you
and running, yeah.
Yeah. When?
Why don't you just say completion?
A little bit where I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Where are you, Tracy?
At the very end.
Timeline for project completion.
Why should we just say timeline for project completion? Or timeline
well,
for total
we
want to
know
project.
When they're starting and completing. So how about construction/completion?
That's what I wrote down.
Okay, that works.
Because, you know,
and you're not
I think it might be
days.
Better.
You're not listing
years.
January 1st, 2013, we're going to start construction. What you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you put that in there so that they understand that you want to know the time frame,
What time frame?
Could we?
Well, I just said it, I guess, didn't I? Time frame for a project construction completion.
Yeah.
Frame instead of line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, do we need the word general or just leave it as is?
Well, if they're starting a project right now, it's highly unlikely they're going to be able to put too that much detail in it in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing is they have to be realistic on both how long it's going to take to get the money, but also how long the project actually is going to take to build.
Yeah. Which relates back to their operations and projections because...
Okay.
I don't mean to be a pest on this and keep going back, but I just think that how does a project demonstrate a viable business plan is so broad. Don't we really want to know in there where they come up with their numbers for their projections? I mean, what did they base it on? Did they go to another project like that was similar and saw their growth and their numbers and that's what they had so many more customers or whatever?
So this is too broad.
Well, I don't think it is because what she's going
with. Where they get the numbers if they made their projections in their business plan.
Isn't that in the business plan that they're giving you as an attachment?
Yes, normally.
In other words.
No, they don't say normally where they came up with those numbers. Sometimes, like I'm thinking a hair salon that Redken has this this plan template. And they're projecting, you know, I'm having this many more stylists, and they bring in this and this and this, and they grow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that the kind of stuff you want, or someone just picking stuff out of the air? Well, I think after I'm open, I'm going to get 20% more people, so that's going to bring in this much more. And where do they get that?
I think you can look at a business plan. For example, when I built my business plan, I used basically a program to build a business plan.
Yeah.
And it pulls from actual numbers. It pulls from, there are some projections in there, because obviously you have to use some projections,
mm-hmm.
But I think if you see a business plan that's done correctly, you know it. That this is probably an accurate business plan or as close to accurate as it can possibly be.
But there are going to be people that just get the paper and just try to guess.
Well, then that's not, so then they would get rated very highly.
How about...
That would be viable.
Are you looking for the strengths of their business plan?
Yeah, well, we're looking at what...
Where they get those numbers that they need to make it viable.
How? Well, that's a question you can ask them. I mean, when they're presenting your case, I mean, you just say, where did you get these numbers?
Where do you base them on?
And that would be a thing you'd do.
That could be during the presentation.
Right.
Okay.
The judging is going to happen after the presentation, so I'm assuming.
Okay. But what I'm asking is, that does this question ask for them to point out the strengths in their plan?
Well, it does. I mean,
Is that the question? You might want to go for strengths. The way we were judging it is, our question is, does the project demonstrate a viable business plan? Mm-hmm. I changed that to a question for them to address. How does it demonstrate? You can rephrase the question. We're still going to be judging it the same way.
What are the strengths of
in a business plan, they have these swoops or whatever. You go through strengths, weaknesses, and something else. It's covered in the business plan mostly.
Well, this is more general. It's like what do you...
Well, what I'm getting at is their presentation. If they can't make a good presentation, these guys are going to say... I don't think so.
And when my board does the economic development grants, the viability of the project is a very important thing to this board. And they have to say some judgment. This one doesn't look that viable.
Doesn't sound
and
right.
So there is judgment, but the viability is so important that I think it has to be judged, even though it might be a little fuzzy, the basis for judging it.
And it's just this specifically lets them say what they want to say is what makes them good.
Yeah, and they
how
could,
are you viable?
They could give a very good argument that we're not really anticipating.
Yeah, business plan.
You're not going to solve all the problems in one sheet here either. That's no way.
But I think it's a good thing. And then during the presentations, we can think about, well, we might want to find out the source of their numbers.
So why? I would think you can ask. Whatever. I can't imagine why you couldn't ask a question. Well, you can't come back and say, well, I can't get to you today. Tomorrow I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's move on for now because, you know, it's better to have them try to give us as much as they can and rather than take stuff out at this point. Economic impact, local project funds, spending them locally, giving them the opportunity to explain that. Create local jobs in all phases is important to us. And then they can use that economic impact to explain, you know, in a narrative form how it is has an impact. And the spin-off businesses. And those were just the criteria, basically, that we were given to start with. So,
is economic impact part of the narrative, part of the five-page narrative?
Yeah, it is. It's the second one under business plan and budget. So I'm just, you know, putting broad headings. We have business plan and budget, economic impact, tourism spending, facility usage, and other.
But the only thing I would...
Yes.
If they have it that detail, I don't know. You got a really thorough list here of hours, and days, and weeks, and almost moments.
facility usage. It depends on the kind of project you have. Basically, this is the part where I said earlier that you could probably cut it out if you wanted to.
Uh-huh.
If you're talking about building a conference center, it of course can be used all of the above, and you don't really need the detail. But if you're going to consider other things that may only be there seasonally or may have some restricted hours, you might want to include it.
Oh, okay. I can see where you're going with it. I guess I just be concerned people.
You could put all of the above in there as a one check mark, and then they wouldn't have to check.
Well, a lot of times your good business plan has it, you know, they anticipate different comings and goings different year, but I would hope that you wouldn't have to go exact numbers by each little category.
Well, this is a checkbox. Okay. Do you intend to be open year round all the time? Do you intend to be on seasonally, daily, or only weekends?
I'm looking at those numbers.
No.
It's checks. And I think the discussion that we had in doing it this way was making it possible for us to compare one project to another, which is going to be difficult.
Since it was confusing to me, maybe you say, please check. would apply or something like that.
Facility
check
usage.
All that
check
yeah,
use. Check all that apply.
That, yeah.
Check all that apply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can even do that under targeted tourists because it might apply to all of them.
Yeah. Put all of the above as a requirement there, and so maybe first all of these and let them go through it, and yeah. Or else they can check it. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. So right after those. Is the project open? Right after that word open, it'll be the check all that apply, and the
right.
Same with the targeted tourist question mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
One more box would be all.
Yeah, all.
All.
Yeah. Another check box would be all.
Yeah.
Okay.
As compared to flipping them all out, you mean?
Yeah, instead of
playing. Well, my thinking is it's very easy to validate, check that, you know.
Yeah.
And you may end up doing all, but you're asking the specific questions, trying to make them look broadly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is going to be for, yeah, but if they do it this way, it makes it more possible to compare one project with the other. I think this facility usage is almost like a part of impact. We want... The facility would gain, I'm not sure, but I think it would gain in judgment if it serves the more people it serves.
No, I'm fine with that.
And how often and everything is just something that factors into the more people it serves.
And maybe you don't want to have a box because maybe you want to take a look at
I think so.
Yeah. You want them to be open as much as possible on off-season.
You do.
So you don't want to have an all-box.
Nah.
You want
right.
to actually see what they're anticipating.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
so. And look at them next
yeah.
to each other.
Right.
So on tourism spending, we did jump over tourism spending and wanted to see if, these are three questions. Encourage overnight stays, encourage increased spending, and encourage capacity. Does that cover a lot of this tourism? We're really focusing in on tourism itself and the spending, and so this is another case where more is better if they can demonstrate more.
So mm-hmm. I guess my question okay. is, will people understand the word capacity? What does that mean to you guys?
How does the project increase capacity? What's an example of a good answer to that question?
Well, by bringing in a facility that has 3,000 feet of space, I can bring in a group that will spend in...
That's a bigger capacity.
Right now, we can't bring in a group that, over a certain amount of people. If I were to say, if I had this particular facility, mm-hmm. I could bring in bigger groups, which means you could get more rooms out of it, you could get more revenue dollars. So that's what I translate capacity into.
As a number of people.
Well,
I translate capacity as it's something that we don't currently...
Addressing a new demographic and that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Something that we don't currently have available to tourists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that increases the capacity.
Well, this would be a narrative they could probably answer themselves. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think both of them are in there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure either.
I like that,
old.
Yeah.
So let them translate, let them interpret capacity any way they want.
Yeah,
I
because
think so.
Capacity is if you have only room for 2,000, you get one for 3,000. The 3,000 gives you bigger groups or more groups at the same mm-hmm. time. But that's different than the polo field.
Right.
Well, as an example,
that polo field stuck with you.
I'm going to Hermiston this weekend. I've got my horse in a trailer.
The brand new type of tourist is
Peggy doesn't know what we're talking about. Hermiston is building a polo field.
Maybe. They just consider it. It was a balloon, a trial balloon.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the capacity would be if I put a new heater system on my building, it doesn't really
The idea is that these dollars want to increase tourists, not just improve your building and make people more comfortable.
Right. Yeah.
Though if the place is really uncomfortable, tourists wouldn't come.
That's right.
So it might be an attraction to a different kind of tourist than we've ever had before. It might be that it adds more things for families to do when they're here
mm-hmm.
so that they stay longer or have more activities. There's
or
a whole bunch of different
capacities.
Or they're more likely to bring their family because it's got a broader base of things that the family can do.
They're going to have to interpret it however they see it.
We're just encouraging more narrative
but do you think
by
that,
including that.
Yeah.
Well, we are encouraging, but this
we're
is
we're
a
directing
very
without controlling.
Thing.
Okay. The idea is we want them to explain, give them something,
the
sell them
pitch,
something,
yep.
But we don't necessarily have to micromanage every answer.
Yes. Okay. As long as they will find the word capacity to trigger those things that they want to accomplish, as long as they understand the question, that's
well, you,
the, that's
you know,
most
it's
important.
The same thing you have on the beginning of this one is that you may be contacted to provide more information, or you may contact us if you kind of a deal too.
Yeah,
so.
Mm-hmm. It goes, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so tourism spending, it looks like those three do cover it, and they are complete. And facility usage, we've already talked about. These are all check marks, and we'll make that clear. And so we're down to the potential for repeat business, and there's several questions under that. Do we need to, are these two micro, I think? Do we
well,
need to have them all?
Well, these are really part of facility usage. They're just
yes.
they're part of their narrative rather than the checkbox. Have them
okay.
explain otherwise is what
okay.
it is.
Okay.
Checkbox gives us quick, specific information, then they can explain.
Okay, okay. So they, we want them to at least somehow address those if they apply to them. And if
yeah.
They don't have to address them.
That's right.
Well, you might want to say that. Somehow.
Should we say
well, why don't you
address the following questions if they apply to you?
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's okay if they don't.
That's
they're
right.
really,
well,
they're,
I
they
think
are
that's
kind
covered
of
in the general instruction when you say try to answer all the questions to keep the overall length. If it's not important, if there's not much of an answer they can give, they're going to make it shorter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So leave everything as is in what is the potential and the next four.
And the other two.
And how about other? Does other capture, there were some things that didn't fit into a category and we left them under other. So look, luckily there's only three. I wouldn't want them to be, you know, a whole bunch. But we're interested in tourism hubs. So is tourism hub something that the applicant's going to understand what we mean?
Yes and no. I'm not sure we need to ask the question because we want them to tell us the location, and if we know the location, we can probably say where it is relative to the hub. So we don't necessarily mm-hmm. need them to explain it.
Well, you might want to just to give them an opportunity to talk a little bit about
talk
the
a
location.
About it, yeah.
Yeah.
So how does the location
coordinate with other tourist activities?
Well, it relates, okay. It's just
relate to current.
Yeah, it might take the word current, but just relate to current tourism hubs.
Yeah, I think we wanted current because
I actually like the question the way it is.
They,
I mean, it's good enough. It's yeah. not like you have to
because they might be creating a new tourism hub, so we wanted it to
yeah.
be current.
They may or may not.
May or may not.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
Relate being the key thing here. Relate could
yeah.
mean many different things.
Right, yeah.
It could mean, you know, where is it? Does it mean how does it get along with what you're currently doing?
I think most folks are going to be able to answer
yeah.
that.
Like
okay,
that.
Let's leave it. Let's leave it. Energy efficiency. That is pretty. That's pretty. Mm-hmm. clear what it means. Will the project enhance local livability components? What about that question?
It gives them a chance to.
It gives them a chance to interpret it and say something about it.
I think that maybe since we're up here, it says to be brief, but it doesn't say, what is the first view? That, well, I'm sorry, I finally, it doesn't really say here you don't have to answer everyone, I guess is what I'm. Maybe make one more little explanation up here that, you know, please answer all questions.
All the questions that apply.
You know, that would be a thing. Because otherwise you're going to have people make this stuff up.
I know, I know.
Well, I think we're going to be able to tell that. And the question is, some of it we're kind of optional and other things are really important. And we can't really tell if you give them optional that they'll decide that, well, that's not important to me, so I'm going to leave that one out. And it turns out to be one significantly important to us. That's my problem with
well, I think that
I say try to answer all the questions. If they think they can't answer the question, I mean, I think they could probably do a sentence or two even if they can't do much.
Yeah.
They could even say, you know, this doesn't specifically apply to because.
Well,
yeah.
That's what I would say if I was filling it out and
yeah, okay.
it was, you know. Doesn't apply.
You would think that and skip it or.
Well, maybe if you said that you can
explain
maybe
why
one little sentence like this says you can.
If
you
we're
can
giving them the rating sheet and we've actually organized it in what we think is most important, less important, what it comes down to it when they get the five pages, and they start running out of space, what's going to be left out are things like the other category, or is going to be treated in a very short way anyway. Mm-hmm. Simply because it's the tail end of what we're doing.
Right, it's the least important.
And
right.
And we're ranked it already by what how the order it's on here, but also because it's on the rating sheet, if you're giving it that.
You okay. Can also say, see answer to number four.
Right. Yeah, sure, I do that all the time.
Refer to page six on the business plan.
All right. Mm-hmm. It'll be a big deal in
it. Yeah, and if they do refer to page six, at least they're giving a specific direction this saying, this is where
we've already answered this. Mm-hmm. You've got the materials in a different place.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, why don't we move on to the attachments? Go ahead.
On this, will the project enhance local livability components? I've always read into that, what does it do to the traffic problems? And I don't know if we need to separate that out or whether we just need to leave that for people to take into consideration.
Well, traffic around here is always a problem when we're full of tourists.
You could ask also.
It's a double-edged sword.
Is it enhance or impact?
Yeah.
Is it enhance or impact?
Well, if it's an enhancement, you're looking at quality of life
right.
issues.
So I talked to the people from NOAA the other day, and they just think, I said, you know, it was the weekend that everybody was in town. The place was packed. And they just, it's just so nice to be here where the traffic is so slow.
They're shocked.
It's the slow
life. It was the very worst traffic
slow pace
all summer. And they just thought it was incredibly nice.
Well, I just got back from Beach, California. There's no traffic here.
We have a rush hour. Only maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
But I mean, but it's all perspective. It's like, this is so nice to be out here. Seattle traffic, I went, whoa.
So maybe
everybody from town is complaining about the traffic, and they have it.
Maybe you can reword this to say, how will the project enhance or impact local
livability? That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, then you got a problem to say how in this requirement.
Will the project enhance or impact local livability components then, instead of how?
Well, they're not going to tell you
it says will.
Impacts anyway.
Right, yeah.
No. But
40 minutes.
Or impact.
At least for a shorter answer is what we have it here, I think. If they can go shorter along in this particular one, will it?
Well, Stan, we've left it open-ended. Is that going to work?
It does for me.
Because...
I don't think they're going to give you any negative impacts.
No, we would have to delve in the presentation phase. Yeah.
So you don't
read carefully between the lines.
Yeah. Although you know, for instance, if the county and the fairgrounds people decide to present a grant proposal to you, one of the big obvious things right away is their location as opposed to the lodging establishments and parking and high school, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
If you
In their plan, they're obviously gonna need to
address
it. It would be dumb to present a proposal that didn't say, here's how we intend to deal with these issues. We know these are underlying issues. Here's how we intend to deal with them. And that would talk about impacts in that particular case. I mean, they've got neighbors up above.
That is a case.
But they already know some of those issues. So their proposal should. I mean, a good proposal should. Address the difficulties of what they want to do and how they're going to deal with that.
So I say you put impact or enhance, impact and enhance.
Okay.
Will the project impact or enhance local livability?
What about affect and leave out enhance?
Enhance thinks positive. Impact is both. If you're asking impact, I wouldn't say enhance is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's enhance or detract is the negative or the positive. Impact is only both of them.
So should we replace enhance with impact? What do you guys think?
That makes sense.
Yeah, impact usually means negative to me.
What about effect, like you said?
What about effect?
That's better.
Effect is very neutral.
With an
effect,
A, right?
Like.
Effect. Is it A, affect? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will the project?
A.
Effect.
Effect with an A.
No.
She's saying
I think it's with an A.
I think this is one of the places where I always look it up because I can't remember. I think it's future, so it's effect, but
effect.
Yeah, but okay.
I think it's A, but oh, yeah, I could stand corrected.
My thing is this is where you look it up, okay?
Yeah.
You put the spell checker on.
No, it could be E. I don't know anymore. I don't
it's
know.
One or the other. One's future, one's past.
We'll sort it out.
But we'll sort that out.
Because I do want to hear in their words if they think it's a benefit to our community and the people that live here. So we do want to hear that.
Okay. If we ask them if the project will affect, by using the word will, we're asking them, that we're kind of leading them to say yes and this is how, and yes and this is why, that kind of thing.
You can say, what are the impacts of the project on local livability?
And you could say what
is the effect of the project on local livability?
Yeah, the question is how you phrase it, positive, negative, will it? They say, will it enhance? We're looking for improvements. Mm-hmm. What are the impacts are broader for both of them?
We would get more out of it if we said what?
Yeah,
what
because technically someone could answer yes or no. Will the project affect local livability components? No.
You're soliciting potentially an additional answer, but it's not there.
Yeah, I think Will's better.
Is this the group that asked, or is this a different group that I've been sitting in on? There was a discussion about the project creating local jobs.
That's this one.
Mm-hmm. Is that in here?
Yes, it's in here. It's the very economic impact. That was part of the grouping process, was to sort of, because usually economic impact is really a job.
I'm just thinking about local effects or local impacts. That's one.
Yeah.
Well, I think the last question here is that when we were grouping things, I actually modified some of the groupings to put them in places.
Okay.
But the other was these sort of leftover things that weren't so important, but we still want to ask the question type stuff.
And that's it's now called other.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can change the label. No.
I just want to make sure we have everything that we do need, and if there's anything else that doesn't fit and should go under other, this is the time to add it.
Leave livability open-ended, like capacity. And
you could have one. It's, you have a category, other, maybe just have one more line here that says other, if you want to.
No, it does say other.
No, not as a heading. It doesn't.
It doesn't say
as a question.
You mean have them say?
Any
other issues? It would be.
You give them a place to add whatever little positive thing they think they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my intent.
Other.
Well, how would we ask that question?
Any other?
Are there any other
additions
to your project?
That apply
that you want to share.
That is fine with me, because as long as it's within five pages, that's cool.
Yeah.
My point of view as an advocate is if they have a particular thing it isn't thing here, that every time they write something, you kind of insert it a little bit. And insert a little bit in that category. Insert a little bit over here. So you keep reminding them that you think that there's a benefit, that somehow it goes in here and somehow it goes in there, but it's not necessarily directly a budget issue.
Mm-hmm. And then other is simply one more opportunity for them to say their
case. Add anything else you want
to. Their case.
Yeah.
Yes. Please add anything.
That we forgot.
Any additional information.
So we'll just state please add at the end. Okay?
Do you have that? You can just have it be another category, additional information or additional
Okay. Well, it fits under other.
Additional information for consideration.
Yeah. Okay. Additional, that's fine.
So in your attachments, your financial statements, are you looking for past financial statements?
Do you want a certain number of years for that?
Grant owners
ask for like 3 years.
Well, if they're an existing institution, that's something very easy for them to get put together.
Yeah, but what's the point of you guys looking at it, I guess? I mean,
just to see stability or to see...
It gives you stability. It also sees...
stewardship of the money.
Yeah, whether they are carrying a disproportionately high debt load, which might cause problems.
Or you could say, if new, pro forma, which is projected.
Financial statements or pro forma. Yeah, you could put both of those.
We don't want to discriminate against a new project.
So it's just harder to qualify.
It's fair.
3 years, past 3 years?
Or you want it to be audited? Well, I wouldn't say audited because not all 501(c)s are big enough to be audited.
Right.
But one of the things you want to be careful is to make sure that you get the complete, if they got accounting statements I know a situation where they were, the person submitting financial statements was taking information out of the financial statements, so the complete statements were not submitted.
Maybe you just limit, when I say, when I see financial statements, I guess maybe a little more clear what that means.
Well, let's put two.
Should be a P&L financial.
I'm kind of wondering if 2, 3, and 4 should be combined and with subheadings, so that are they all part of the same thing,
separate,
or no?
Yeah.
They're all separate. Okay.
The one thing I would change on number one is maybe you want to ask for the IRS determination letter regarding their 501c, so you don't get the whole packet or something.
Yeah. There's an actual certificate.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now if they
don't
are
need the documentation, you just need to get the cert. Yeah.
So
the
documentation would be IRS determination.
Determination of,
But let's talk about what we want them to give us for a financial statement.
Okay.
Do you just want them to type out like cash on hand, you know, liabilities and their bottom line, or do you want to actually see a bank statement?
Do we want a balance sheet? Do we want a P&L? What do we want?
You want an accountant's analysis, an audit?
Most recent complete year.
Most recent balance sheet.
Well, that and the past, how many, mm-hmm. you got so many years you can go back.
And a new one.
Year end, you want a
year end
statement.
Yeah.
You don't want.
Month after month, I would.
Yeah. Right, most recent year end statement.
Or year-to-date, year-end, year.
Year-end statements from the past 3 years.
Most recent 3 years.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking.
When you say year-end statements, what are you talking about exactly?
Well, that's
annual financial report.
We get like balance sheet and profit and loss.
Yeah, P&L and balance sheet are the two standards.
And nonprofits are standard with that, too.
Right, I think you have to turn something in every year to the tax. Mm-hmm.
What does this ask for?
It depends on the returns actually would be quite simple if you're very low on the scale.
Yeah.
The bigger you are, you're more likely to have accounting statements anyway. You have straight accountants do it. So it's a question of size and parcel.
And if we're trying to compare apples with apples, we would want the balance sheet and profit and loss.
Well, there's no
and
profit.
And ours have to be within the most recent,
whatever you call it.
A P&L.
So like for
if it's
now,
an addition to a facility.
Someone hasn't done their taxes, I've got to get year-to-date.
See whether they break even.
Well, year-to-date I wouldn't care about because their fiscal years are all going to be different.
Yeah.
So let's not worry about year-to-date.
But see, what the bank is concerned with, I know what they're concerned with, so you've given me stuff ending December 31st and you've had a disaster for the first 6 months, but I don't know that because I've only got December 31st. I spent all my money.
Okay.
I mean, that's what
they got to answer that in the budget, though, too.
They're going to answer that by putting in their own numbers.
Here's
the balance sheet.
Current balance sheet.
Yeah, current balance sheet, and then most recent 3 years.
That'd be fine. Yeah, right,
3 years. So you want a current balance sheet and what? And most recent 3 years of.
What?
Of
profit.
A balance sheet.
Well, it's called some different tax return, I think.
Tax return.
What are after return?
Well, we don't want the 990s from a nonprofit because they're this thick.
Yeah.
Oh, not that.
Yeah.
We don't want those.
Huge.
Yeah. We just don't want to work. Now, my nonprofit has two pages for the year end, the profit and loss on top and the balance sheet on top. And the profit and loss, even though that's not the official name, it would be revenues minus expenses.
Yeah, revenues and expenses.
Revenues and expenses.
Call it a profit
year
loss
end.
Or...
Year
I call it that, but a nonprofit is a little...
They don't call it.
Year-end revenue expense summary.
Year-end revenue expense summary. I like that.
Yeah, revenue expense summary. That'll
year
be clear.
Year-end revenue expense summary.
For 3 years, right?
3 years.
So you want a current balance sheet and 3 years of year-end revenue expense summary.
If they want the if available.
Yeah, or pro forma.
Yeah, right, or pro forma. Yeah.
Or pro forma.
Okay.
My only other wrench to this is that, like, if I hate to make them go get audited once from an accountant for these small-time people, but if you don't, where's your proof that those numbers are right?
Well,
could you just ask a question, have you had an audit within the past 2 years? And just say, they could just say yes or no.
But they don't need to.
They don't need to.
They're small.
Yeah.
Well, you start looking at their back. We got $1 million in the bank. And you look at your bank statement. It's not.
That's where I was going. You almost need them to submit their bank statement to prove that they.
Well, you do. You're asking for a current balance statement.
Balance sheet. They just type up themselves. They can't.
Yeah. Yeah, my computer spits a balance sheet out.
Yeah, but it is.
I can put with any number.
Well, see, that's darn.
That's what I'm doing wrong.
It's a very sophisticated program that anybody can play with. It does not have the controls that if it's done by an independent third party, such as accountant.
Yeah. Right. And if it's not by an accountant, then they need to submit their bank statements showing they have that in the bank.
Could we say in parentheses, where, I mean, we're saying most recent 3 years and all that stuff, and then say, state if this is by a third party?
I think we're talking about.
Because see, mine's a small group, but it's done by a third party.
But you'll know that because
a CPA.
If it's done by a third party, they're going to have some kind of
letterhead on it,
or a manager or something.
Yeah. Usually, it's going to the accountant or whoever is going to provide something that indicates.
So you say current balance sheet with verification.
And then
verification of assets.
I think the letterhead of the bank tells you what it is.
Yeah.
We don't do balance sheets on the letterhead of the bank.
Right.
Not balance.
Right.
But you can go to your statement.
That's what I'm saying is you want to ask if they're not audited. Do you want them to bring their bank statement?
I've never had to do that for a grant application, personally, as a nonprofit. I've never had to. But, you're a lender, so it's a whole different thing.
Well, and it's also the size of the project.
Look what happened with Alumni Association.
Oh, I know.
That treasurer was giving them balance sheets, and they were all phony, and nobody in that organization was saying, let me see the bank statement that backs this.
You didn't have checks and balances
when
a second party
have
a question
when you're looking through the information. You always have this caveat at the top that says applicant may be contacted to provide more information.
Right. Oh, that's true. Okay.
And the organizations that are going to be submitting.
Okay.
So,
if you have are going to be local organizations,
right.
So we can track them down.
You always have to try to control the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The whole idea is that it's checks and balances. If you have somebody writing the checks and somebody else signing them, you have somebody else reviewing the bank accounts, the problem is the smaller you get more people doing everything, universal, and when one person has all the money, you're depending on that person being trustworthy.
So the reason I asked about the audit question was you could just have it in there. They don't have to submit it. You could just say, have you had an audit within the past 3 years? If so, when?
Or we could.
And then if they say yes, and you want to see that, you can ask them for that later. And if they say no, then that would be a little bit of a bell.
Yeah,
we'd go off and say,
true.
Then we need to delve into their, make sure that their financial records are what they say they are.
For the word audit, could we say audit or use of a CPA?
Right.
You certainly don't want to say IRS audit. That's going to
No. But I mean, auditing is just a functional thing.
Right. Yeah.
And it could be that because a CPA prepares your stuff, you don't need an audit, but it's perfectly valid.
Or maybe the other thing.
And there's no red flag.
Take the information they give you and then decide whether it's credible.
Or if you have a question about it and you think you still want to do the project, ask them to be audited before they qualify.
You have all those options.
So the option on the form itself would
just
be state if you had it on.
Or you say current balance sheet, 3 years of expenses and revenues.
Okay, and then we'll hold back on that for additional information.
Because you're going to be narrowing these things down.
Okay, right now we've done attachment number 2 and number 3. We already changed to be business plan, including budget. And
projection.
A projection of 3 years of operating and a project budget.
Right.
Okay. Timeline, we talked about number 5. We did not talk about number 4, which is just saying timeline for fundraising. And is that pretty self-explanatory?
I think we're changing both the time frame.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Both to frame then.
Yeah.
Then we're apples and apples, trying to stay with the consistency. So, and then number 5, what I've got jotted down here, tell me if this is it, is time frame for project construction/completion.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Now, maybe we could even move on to the rating sheet. Oh, it's noon. I think we might have to.
Well, there's no Rotary today, so, I mean, I'm okay if you want to do it real quick. I don't know about anybody.
How big of a project is the rating sheet?
Where is it? I don't have
We have to create it from scratch.
Oh, right now? That's a huge one with us.
Yeah.
I can't. We never
should. Well, I guess I can.
Well, we could make
it next time.
Why don't we get...
Why is it from scratch?
No, it's not. It's based on this.
It's based on the criteria that you want to review.
Why don't we get a sense of the group of how to do a rating sheet and put out a draft on email like we did earlier,
okay,
with the categories and stuff?
Well, we reorganized the questions based upon the survey about how we thought and what we thought was important. Mm-hmm. We have a listing here, which I tried to put in the list of what we considered important.
Right.
When you are going to weight something, then you have to decide when you're scoring it how you're going to score. Are you going to say these two questions are 50% of what were important, or everything's equal 10%, or this one's got 30, this one's got 20, this one's got 10.
Well, that's kind of up for grabs. For grabs. So I don't have any strong feelings. I'm willing to, start, drafting.
Together?
Sure. Okay.
So actually not so much the rating sheet, but you're saying the way you're going to give it.
Well,
the sheet you have in front of you as you're reading through it, you say.
But I mean, you're pretty much all done with that sheet, it sounds like. So now you're just going to deal with what weightings you're talking about.
Well, we want to give the applicant the sheet itself.
Right.
So what does that sheet look like? That's the kind of thing I'm
an example of how you guys use it. This was the way back in the beginning. But you have an example of how you guys score your economic development.
Right. It was a spreadsheet. Had the first column was the applicant. The second column was the project, and that was so that when we were looking at it, everything was on one page, and it wasn't a stack of 20 applications here. So what we did was put it on one spreadsheet so that we were start going across the line. And the third column was the amount of their request. And then you have, right away, Excel adds them up for you, and you say, we only have $1 million, but the requests that we've gotten in are for $2.3 million. Then you know that. So you're mentally putting that in your, in mind.
I think you would want to do that second after you've rated each individual project.
I think that's a comparison between projects.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a weighting system. When you're giving, and in fact, that sheet I probably wouldn't.
Well, that's the information part, though.
Yeah. But what I would do is I would have a simple scoring one sheet piece of advice that we're going to weight something with a particular percentage. And you don't even necessarily need a separate sheet. What you could do is when you hear this at the headings, put in something in parenthetical of saying this is 30% or this is 10 points of the project.
Okay, then it's sort of like you're in school.
Yeah.
And you've got an essay question, and that essay question's 20%.
Of your grade.
Of your grade on the test, and this is going to be 5% of your grade on the test.
There's two ways you can do it. I mean, you can list your criteria, which you basically have in the qualifications here, which is grouped and everything. Every one of them can be rated on a scale of 1 to 10. Meaning how well they need it, and then beyond that you can have a multiplier. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You don't have to have 100 points. It could be whatever the total is at the end, but you could say these have higher priority, so they have a multiplier too. So whatever you score it at is 8, then it translates into 16 over here.
Okay. Now, do we have
or it's just a raw 10? I don't think you have to say 100, 500, 600. I think you just end up with whatever. If you have a scale, then you have a multiplier, which is what this weighting thing system is, basically. Mm-hmm. Then the total possible may be 560. It may be 388. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because then you're just going to be looking at
who's higher than another.
Scores on your on that second.
And it's going to be hard to be high unless you get the criteria that we think is important.
Yeah.
Well, we better start doing the what's more important, this is more important than that, and this is more important than that, so that we can, put the weight on them later, but,
prioritize
that we rank them. that we write.
Well, this was based on the survey, the budget and the economic terms.
Came up to the top?
Yeah.
And then this came up?
These are your weightings right here. Right.
These are in order of
what we did.
And the survey already helped you do that.
Yeah.
So how do we... You're already a couple steps ahead.
We are.
It's only a question of whether you're going to say business plan and economic impact. How are you going to score it? Are you going to do it, like Mark says, where you're going to say it's got a multiplier, or are you going to say it's 50% of the score?
Okay. Now, I don't think we, because we're going to have people addressing all these questions in a narrative form, we can't really get into question by question.
No, I think you can.
But we can take
category.
The category by category, of which we've got, what, five? So how can we put weight heavier on the first one and go down the thing?
Well, there's two ways. I mean, probably more than two, but there's certainly, you can say the first category, you can score up to 20 points, and as you get down lower, it only goes up to 10 points. Or you can do 10 points and times two, and the other one only has times one, or times three. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or you can
or
just do a percentage.
Yeah. Well, percentage,
that's a lot of math. Jeez,
not
only 100%.
We're going to probably end up doing some kind of scoring system. And it's just a matter of.
Well, percentages, you have a finite number you have to fill that. Well, you can't go past that.
Well, I mean, if we make this simple and you go 25, 20, 10, or 25, 20, 15, 10, and 5, based on the weighting, there's your, this is worth 5.
So there's the maximum is if you got 25 on this and 10 on that. So the maximums would add up to that would be the perfect score.
Correct.
Math, but it is easy.
There's no such thing as perfect, but I mean, the idea is this: some projects just can't get enough points as compared to other projects is what it amounts to.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, if you go to 100, they all have to meet to 100, then you got to, that's kind of tough.
Well, I think that what it comes down to is that the more they want, the more they're going to have to put over and provide to us.
Well, and sometimes they can't. I mean, there's just some things that they're not going to provide. And so they can't, they just aren't able to score as high as some other projects. And that's going to help you guys out is to decide,
The last thing, or where on this, I should say, would we judge the size of the request? Would we ever say, they've asked for this huge amount of money?
I think that's
do they really need that much? I mean,
well, my problem is that
I don't know if we get to say that.
And they say,
yeah. Right, a conference center seems to me to be something that is highly unlikely you can build for $1 million. So they're going to have to multiply it.
Mm.
We don't want to give it to one person, but they may have somebody who'll ask for $1 million. And I think if
they ask for
$1 million, we're going to ask a great deal more of them to justify it, simply because they are asking for the whole cake.
Yeah.
So if you look at it this way, if you went 20, 25, 20, 15, 5, based on those, that comes up to 75 points. You could say there's another 25 points based on the size of the project, or based on the amount of money that you're requesting. The higher those points for that particular thing, the lower the yeah. I mean.
Or you could just have 25 points be available as a holistic. Just a holistic, in the end, when you take a look at these proposals, you're really going to be thinking...
So, yeah, number of points.
You're going to get it.
So there's a possible 25 points for the overall picture. That would work.
That does work. Look at it.
You have the potential of 100 points, typically.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So 75 are scored based on the particular areas, and then there's another 25 points based on the entire thing.
Well, the one thing I have a problem with that, Tracy, is maybe then let's just say that the one project that is pretty dang important to you guys. I want to give these guys 50 points, but as compared, I can only give them 25. Or, you know what I mean? The other things are so weak, but I still have to give them some points. You're forced to give other projects that probably aren't as strong points, no matter what you do.
Well, the other thing about
a total of 100.
The other thing to try to think about this is that. Yes, it's competitive, mm-hmm. but you want to try to do. I think you want to try to consider each proposal in a non-competitive kind of
on its own merit
way.
That's fair.
You don't really want to compare.
Okay.
So you want to have a rating system which will allow you to look at this and rate it and judge it and not think, well, I gave the aquarium 75, and I don't really, I think the Aquarius Project is better than this one, so I'm only going to give them 30 or 40. I think what you
right.
want, you want no, to have a rating
you have
system
to do it individually.
That will give you a snapshot of what you feel, how you feel about that particular project according to your criteria and rating, and then mm-hmm. later on, that's what you're going to have to do is kind of decide.
You're going to have a second phase.
So well, you have two phases.
You're going to give all the money away, you're going
to
get
well,
part
you first have to say, well, is this project a good project? Is the money going to be well spent? How are you going to do it as a project?
And
then we've got so many projects and so much money. How are we going to separate it?
Yes, okay. I'll get it to you.
You're just judging this project and how it fits with your parameters, and you have that holistic thing, and you say, you know.
I think the way that Mark and Jesus came up with the 75 and then 25 would probably work.
I think it's worth a try, especially because it's kind of simple. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't involve having a percentage of 20.156, you know, weighting.
And it
things.
Gives the people who are applying a clear
Keep it simple.
Well, it says, here's how you're going to assign the points, but it still leaves you that 25 points, which is a quarter of the points, a quarter of the scoring. As
the business plan and budget.
Holistic look at the whole thing.
Yeah. Holistic. How does it all hang together? Does it really look, do you feel it's really going to do what they say it's going to do and help?
Yeah.
Is it an appropriate request for what they want?
Is it viable? Where it comes down to personal expertise and personal experience and personal knowledge. I mean, it's just going to be, you know, each person's going to come up with a different sense of how they feel the project is.
Well, why don't I take a stab at putting the weight? I'm going to take it from you right before you leave. Give it to me again. 25.
But yeah, it just goes right down. It's 25, 20, 15, 10, and 5.
10 and 5.
Right.
And then 25 up for grabs.
Overall.
The fives are the others?
Five's the other.
Five's
over. Because, I mean, they're important. They're important that they're. But least important.
Okay.
The other is. The location relate to current terms.
Right, and that's how it came out in your survey, I guess.
Energy efficient.
Okay.
Have you guys ever done any holistic scoring, any kind of work like that? It's a very interesting process because it's not really competitive.
Not really.
But you have kind of a, like if you're doing a reading sample, writing sample, reading sample,
okay,
you take what you would consider to be an excellent example, and then you just read through them and you categorize and say this one is right up there with those, mm-hmm. and you can quickly, it's pretty amazing how you can quickly sort out, these are really great pieces of writing, these are close, these are, you know, these don't meet the standard at all, kind of a deal.
Is there a certain format for that, or?
There is. I don't think it really works for this particular.
Well, with this particular group, in order to be really fair, we don't want to discriminate against people that don't have a professional grant writer.
Right, and that don't.
So it's important to let the little guy have their voice.
Well, I think those points, like he's saying, does because, like the aquarium, they're probably going to get full points
slick.
On a lot of
That's
fine.
But
that's
the
fine.
Other.
But with the 20, I think with the 25,
even that.
I think we could even it out. You know, I'm thinking of a person who is making they're a small group, and they're making a relatively small request, but it fits the criteria.
Right,
and it would be a really cool project to have come to fruition.
So it could be that we can give that the weight that it's competitive with the aquarium.
Right.
Yeah, and another thing that may come up while we're doing things is that we get five projects, and they look like they're all kind of will be a symbiotic relationship. They'll all help each other some way as they operate. And then there's this other one out here all by itself that doesn't seem to relate to anything at all. It might be a good thing to do, but it's going to be harder to be viable just because it's out there all by itself.
Yeah, and that would, I think, would come out in the discussion and in the presentation. Well, why don't we adjourn for the official business, and I'll hand that over to you.
Thank you.
And then I will do a sample.